Welcome to the Middle East Reports. I'm John Riley. Each week, I help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. Security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, and many other things that we cover each and every week. And the main purpose of the Middle East Report is to encourage you to read, study, and apply the Word of God in your life. The best way to do that is to connect to the people, places, and geography of what we read in the Bible. And on today's show, this is a continuing series of a visit that I had in the land of Israel and your opportunity to hear some of those interviews. And today, we are going to hear the story of Dr. Haggai. I met him in Israel, and he, of course, lives there with his family, but he was directly involved with what happened on October 7th when 1,200 Jewish people were massacred in Israel. Please listen to this conversation. It's going to touch your heart deeply. I want to introduce you to someone that I just recently met here in the land of Israel that I just found out actually is a dad who had a daughter who is a survivor of the October 7 massacre in Israel. And I was so touched by his story. I wanted him to come on the air during the Middle East Report and just share his heart about what happened on October 7, and to share his story. Dr. Haggai, thank you for joining us today. Your story is amazing. It is miraculous. And I want you to take an opportunity just to share your story about your connection to what happened on October 7.
Thank you, John. So I have five kids, and one of my kids, my daughter by the name of Rotem, she lives with her family, with her husband and two little kids, 1-year-old and 3-year-old, in one of the kibbutzim near Gaza. It's called Kibbutz En HaShlosha. It's not far from Kisufim and Nirim. It's about 1 kilometer from the border. And at that Saturday, at that Shabbat in October 7, early morning, as everybody heard first the bombing in 6:30 a.m., and since they live not far from the fence, the outer fence of the kibbutz, they started to see tens of people that are coming from out, our people that are running, jumping over the fence and running toward their house. So they very fast get into the house. They closed all the doors, shut all the doors, and they were hiding in the security room, locking the door and having a very great difficulty to be in silence because they have two little kids, but they were in silence for many hours. And the murderers came and knocked on the door and tried to get through, but they were not able. So they went to the neighbors, and then they killed the neighbors. They went to another house, and they burned the house with the people inside. And through all that time, my daughter was texting to me. Now, at this point of time, when I was in the other area of the Israel, I was in the north, nobody was aware to the big picture. We thought that, you know, we talk about maybe 10 people that came out from Gaza and were trying to murder Jews. And I asked her, what is happening? Are you okay? And she said, yes, we're okay. We hear the shooting all everybody everywhere, but we are okay. And I was sure that army will come and save them within a couple of minutes. Okay, within 1 hour, within 2 hours. So it came to 9 a.m., 10 a.m., and I'm still asking, did the army arrive? Did the army arrive? No, the army didn't arrive. And it took us time, many hours, to realize the big picture, that tens of settlements were attacked at the same time and hundreds of people were killed in massacres. And for my family, they were staying in the safety room till the midnight, so for 16, 18 hours. And only then they came out. The army didn't allow them to go out of the kibbutz because still the area was filled with murderers, but they were not able to stay more. They get into one of the two cars that they have. The other car was damaged by the Arab people, and they went all the way to us. At the same time, at the same day, my brother also had a very tragic challenge to handle. And this is because if his daughter was one of the 100 of youngers that were in the party, in the nature party that we call the Nova party, not far from the kibbutz of my daughter. And when I talked with my daughter in the morning, asking her how it is, how do you feel? He called me and said, my daughter is also there. So he decided to take his car. He lives in the central area of Israel and drive like 1 hour and a half to nearby the Gaza Strip, go into the hills, trying to path the security blockade that was there, and came with his 4x4 vehicle and took his daughter with some of her friends. They were very frightened. They hear all the shootings. They saw the murderers. Many of their friends were massacred there. They are still in treatment, in psychological treatment, in order to overcome this massacre event.
I am so happy that your daughter and this other one that you just spoke about are okay. People who are listening right now can't even imagine the evil that was done to the Jewish people on October 7. And it was evil. It was pure demonic evil from a people who have been taught to hate the Jewish people from babies, from infants. And I don't know how, as a Jewish person, as an Israeli, you deal with this hatred that comes from a people like Hamas and those Arabs in the Gaza Strip that just hate the Jewish people, that would want to do these horrific things that happen on October 7th.
You can think about that. It is the most, is profaning, it's your most sacred place. Your sacred place is your house. Your house, your home, okay? Your living room. And these terrorists came all the way and get into the houses. And they were killing, they were murdering, they were massacring kids and daughters and old people in the eyes of their relatives. And they were raping, terrible things. You cannot imagine that. You cannot imagine that. It's more than an evil. It's a pure evil. You cannot imagine that.
You know, in the world today that we live in, we know that for, it seems like, thousands and thousands of years, people have been against the Jewish people, many people. And with this war that is ongoing here in Israel, we have so many world bodies that once again are trying to blame the Jewish people on what has happened there in Gaza, or trying to get the Jewish people and the IDF to stop the war in Gaza. What do you think about all of this pressure that is coming from world leaders, including the United States, that are just trying to limit what Israel is doing to defeat evil here in this country?
Yeah, I would not go into, you know, politics, but I would say that if we look into what is happening here as a war between light and dark, then every person in the world can connect himself to the light, to the side of light, and understand what is happening here, because it's not just the problem or the challenge of Jewish people. It can come to any democratic or Western entity in the world if we will not stop it, because this extreme thinking that would like to extinguish everything that is not according to their way of thinking is something that poses a danger for every person in the world that looks for freedom, looks for democracy, look for Western values. And this is the way that I would expect everybody to look into what is happening here. It's not a local problem. It's a problem that can go tomorrow to any other place. Because once you are very, very extremist in your way, and you can kill everybody just because they think differently, without, you know, any love for kids, I mean, It's something that you cannot understand. And if we look into that as a war between light and darkness, then it is easier to understand where we are today. And this is what I expect from everybody in the world, to be in the light, in the bright side of the equation.
You know, I often tell people that this battle that is going on here in Israel, and even battles in the past, it is a spiritual warfare that is going on in the heavenlies, because I personally believe that the enemy wants to try to defeat the plans and purposes of the Jewish people, because God promised the Jewish people this land through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, he gave this land to the people of Israel. Not just that, the Jewish people have brought so much good to the world when we talk about the Bible. The Bible is a Jewish book. Both the Jewish scriptures and the New Testament, as it is called, they are Jewish books. And the Jewish people have given us the morals that we have here in our society, and so many other things. And I believe that the enemy just wants to try to defeat the purposes of God, but the enemy will never survive.
Yeah, I can comment that. I do not think it's a war between Judaism and Islam, or it's not a religious war. I mean, Islam is something that we admire. We admire everybody with his belief, with his thought. The problem here is the extreme way of reading the situation, the extreme way of living into the reality. And when you have extreme groups, and very, very extreme groups, this is the problem of everybody. I have friends, I have Muslim friends, I have Christian friends. I live here in the Galilee, in the northern side of Israel. My village is surrounded by Muslim villages, by Christian villages. We are friends. We go together. We meet together in the supermarket, in the hospital, in many places. That's in the university. I teach my class. I have Muslim students, Druze students, Christian students, and Jewish students. This is not a problem. The problem is not to believe. The problem is if you take it to a very, very extreme point, when you see the other side as somebody that has no reason to live, and then you would like to extinguish it. This is the problem. And I'm optimistic, although we are in a very, very difficult situation, because I know that what is happening is not what should happen for a long time, and there will become better times and brighter days, and that the light will win here at the end of the time.
I believe that as well. And you mentioned, working with Arab people and Druze people, which is another cultural segment here in Israel. There is a lot of coexistence that is happening, and I think it's important for people who are listening today, even in the midst of this war that's going on in Israel, you have this Islamic extremism that wants to destroy the Jewish people, but that is not the case of many Arabs here who live in coexistence with Jewish people. We're talking to Dr. Haggai, who actually has an incredible story that you heard earlier about his daughter that actually survived the October 7 massacre. And Dr. Haggai, there are so many people who are listening right now to the Middle East Report who love the Jewish people, love the land of Israel, love the Bible. What would you like to say to those people who just love you, love your family, want to pray for you and pray for what's going on here in the land of Israel?
I would say continue with your lovely support. Continue with your prayer for Israel. Support Israel in whenever way you can do. Either give donations or even come to support us. We do, even in these days, there are flights and there are groups that are coming to visit us and to see what we are doing. And we really, really appreciate that. So we would like to see you here very soon.
There are flights coming to Israel. In fact, my wife and I are here in the land of Israel. And I have to tell you that this is one of the most precious times for my wife and I to be here in the land of Israel. We have been here, multiple times in the land of Israel. Personally, I've been here 30 plus times. My wife has been here many, many times as well. But this is just one of the most precious times that we've ever experienced, being in the land of Israel. Loving on the Jewish people, speaking to people like you, has been so meaningful to us. So it's an honor to, speak with you, Dr. Haggai. Thank you for sharing your story. And I know that so many people across the country will pray for you, your family, and everything that's going on here in the country.
Thank you.
What an incredible interview there from Dr. Haggai and what his family went through there in the land of Israel. So many families affected by what happened there in Israel on October 7th. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray for everything that's going on there in the land of Israel. You're listening to the Middle East Report, and we are going to continue to talk about what happened there on October 7th and how it's affecting families and how you can pray for the situation there in the land of Israel. I've got a good friend of mine with me today, Kobe Ferguson. He is the president and CEO of Maos Israel, an incredible organization that is doing so much to help people there in the land of Israel. He happens to be here in the United States at the moment. Kobe, thank you for joining us. You heard that interview from Dr. Haggai and so many families in Israel that are going through so much, and especially those that went through what happened on October 7th. I want you to tell everybody about Maos Israel, what you guys do there in the land of Israel, and maybe, you know, what families are going through there in Israel with the multi-front wars that you guys are dealing with there in the land.
Well, yeah, and first of all, wow, that's an amazing testimony. I really love when we have an opportunity to hear from people who went through the actual events on October 7th. A lot of them went through so many things, so traumatized that it's hard for them to share. So this was really great, I think, for your listeners also to hear that people know these are real people, real stories from the land. And there's unfortunately thousands and thousands of people that are impacted from the events that happened, and we're kind of seeing a ripple effect. And then, of course, from the war itself, we are seeing so many soldiers and civilians, including children and entire families, that are really, really affected by the events. And I think one of the things I want to highlight, and our ministry is trying to let people know, especially people that pray, people that really seek the Lord for Israelis to be touched by the power of God, for Israelis to be impacted by the presence of God, the healing power, the peace that really only comes from Yeshua, from Jesus. I'm asking people to pray, and we've been able to help these soldiers and families get help for the mental trauma. That's one of the things that maybe is not really widely known, is the amount of trauma. We are a nation that's basically traumatized right now. We were talking with psychologists, and they said, look, I need a psychologist. You know, so we've actually been able to help get some Israelis some help in this area, because people need to be able to talk and process through grief and trauma. And the families that were affected, it's just been just horrific. And so what do you do during a season like this? Nobody really has been here before. And actually, I've been pleasantly surprised by the support of Christian psychiatrists and Christian counselors. We've actually sent Israelis abroad who came back changed. We're seeing God help really take care of issues that we never thought people would be able to overcome.
Talking to Kobe Ferguson. He is the CEO and president of Maos Israel, and they do so much to help people there in Israel. And I just want to encourage you to please connect with this organization. It's maosisrael.org, maosisrael.org. The Jewish people are facing the greatest threat to their existence since the Holocaust. You know, we have rising Jew hatred across the USA. We're talking about the October 7th massacre of 1,200 Jewish people in Israel, the trauma that is going on there with families there, and the ongoing war with Hamas and Hezbollah and other threats that Israel is facing during this very, very critical time in Israel and within the Jewish people. And here in this country as well, we need to stand with Israel. And Kobe, you are actually going to be a part of a very special event that's going to be held at the Ripley Sportsplex Gym, Ripley, Mississippi, the northern part of the state of Mississippi. It's coming up Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., August 4th, a time to stand with Israel. You'll be speaking, you'll be sharing during that rally. And again, that is Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., August 4th, in Ripley, Mississippi, at the Sportsplex Gym. Kobe, what do you want to tell people who come to this rally. What's your message?
I really encourage anyone who can come. I know that there's been kind of a fatigue here in the U.S. of war. You hear about the war in Ukraine and the ongoing conflict and war in Israel. But it's really important for Christians to understand God has called them to stand with Israel when things get tough, not just love Israel for the, you know, the spiritual heritage and the amazing connection with Jewish roots and Hebrew roots and different things that we all love and appreciate. And I see Christians that often will tell me, you know, I love Israel. I've been there. This, you know, or my cousin or my mother's been there. And all that is wonderful, but it's a deeper connection than that. We share a covenant. We share the same God of Israel. And when Israel needs help from its spiritual allies, not just its natural allies, it's the Christians that we're calling forth to rise up. Unfortunately, during the Holocaust, a lot of the church, especially in Germany, was silent. Even in the U.S., not a lot of people were standing up for what was happening to the Jewish people. And so I really don't want to see Christians fall into the same trap that we see so many years ago, that when Israel faces its worst crisis, and we're seeing things now in the United States that we've never seen before. We've never seen protests in the United States that are for the people who just slaughtered Israelis. It's really unimaginable, but it's happening here in the United States of America, and we've never seen the levels of anti-Semitism here in the U.S. And of course, we know that it is a spiritual matter, but I really want people to understand how this has affected us in Israel so that they can kind of put themselves in that scenario. We all have families. Everything that's happening in Israel is deeply affecting family really as much or more than anything else. There's hundreds of thousands of soldiers serving right now between the ages of 18 and 22, and most of them are averaging 19 years old. And my own daughter, for example, is serving. I can't tell a lot of what she does, but I can tell you that she is very close to the action. And when we were all anticipating the attack from Iran back in April, I got a text on April 13th from my daughter that just eerily said, "Abba, please pray, they're coming." We all knew what was happening, and she said it was intense, and just please pray. And so those things affect you as a parent, especially parents that have kids close to the action. And so that's what we go through in Israel. We are very honored that our kids are serving in the military, but having them serve during a time of war adds an especially increased amount of, we are working through the concern and the worry. The Lord is helping us, but so many people don't have that same assurance that we do. So many Israelis don't really have a relationship with God and know that they can turn to Him for support and help. So that's where we need our Christian brothers and sisters from around the world to rally, to say, we're going to cover your back, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to encourage and support you through these crises that we're going through. So the effect that it's had on families, as we heard the testimony earlier, I mean, how amazingly happy is the father to know that his daughter is safe? He would give everything in the world for that. And I feel like Christians should realize that we're part of the family. The Lord has called us to be one together, Jew and Gentile. And yet, the nation of Israel, not yet saved, that will come. But in the meantime, God has called the church, according to Isaiah 40, to comfort his people. Unfortunately, sometimes we see people in the church waving their finger at Israel, accusing, blaming them. But that is not the role, and that is not what needs to happen right now. But fortunately, and to encourage anyone listening, we see an outpouring, millions of Christians praying, And we know that we're seeing answers to prayer in the midst of some of the most difficult seasons we've ever faced.
Kobe Ferguson is the CEO and president of Maos Israel, and I want to encourage you to please find out more about this organization and what they are doing in Israel. They are doing so much to help the Jewish people there in the land. Just go to maosisrael.org, maosisrael.org. And those of you in northern Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, and from wherever you are in the country, if you want to come in for this very special rally, you are invited to join hundreds of people at the Ripley Sportsplex Gym. It's coming up Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., August 4th, for a time to stand with Israel. That's Ripley, Mississippi Sportsplex Gym. It's in the northern part of Mississippi. Again, Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., August 4th, for a time to stand with Israel. Kobe Ferguson will be the special speaker, and you don't want to miss this incredible rally for everybody, a time to stand with Israel. And Kobe, you said it a few moments ago, we can't just, you know, enjoy the fact that we receive the word of God from the Jewish people, that we have all the benefits from the Jewish people, and not stand with the Jewish people during this critical time. We have to do that, Kobe. We have no other choice. We need to do that because that is our responsibility as people who love the Lord.
It's not just an obligatory thing, or even to say, okay, I love the Lord, I love scripture, and I want to do something to help Israel. It is a part of the destiny of Jew and Gentile when Christians come into this covenant that was originally offered to the Jewish people. They are given an opportunity to make an impact in the nation of Israel. Israel needs Christians from around the world because we're meant to be together. Something doesn't really click when the church around the world doesn't support Israel. So it's not just biblical or historical reason. It's a part of the destiny. It's part of the spiritual inheritance of Christians worldwide that they can affect change in the land.
Kobe, thank you for joining me today. That's Kobe Ferguson. He is the president and CEO of Maos Israel. Find out more about that organization, maosisrael.org, maosisrael.org. Kobe, we ask everybody to pray for everything that's going on there. Pray for your ministry and what you guys do there in the land of Israel. And thank you for taking time to be with us here on the Middle East Report. We sure appreciate it.
My pleasure. Shalom, shalom.
You're invited to hear Kobe Ferguson speak at a Stand for Israel rally coming up on Sunday, August 4th, 3 p.m. in Ripley, Mississippi at the Ripley, Mississippi Sportsplex Gym. This is open to everybody. Hope to see you there. I'm John Riley. That's the Middle East Report. Podcasts of the show are available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.